This podcast is brought to you by Zeno Mueller, three-time Olympian and gold medalist. Imagine a 20-second 2K PR by the end of this season, or even sooner. Elite rowing coach by Zeno Mueller is a competitive advantage. The ERG score is the SAT of rowing, so find out what Zeno Mueller can do for you. Make sure to use coupon 4STARS, F-O-R-S-T-A-R-S, for $200 off on any program he has on his website. Zeno is an Olympian and graduate from Brown University, coached by the legendary Steve Gladstone. He'll get you right, he'll get your 2K down, and he'll be a better athlete after his training. So make sure you tune in with Zeno and get some coaching at EliteRowingCoach.com.
On tonight's program, ladies and gentlemen, we have something that's going to make you sick.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the 4STARS podcast, where today we get to hear from the man, Paul Cook, head coach at Brown. He's entering his 23rd season as head coach for the Bruno and 30th season as a coach at Brown in total. Coach Paul, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing very well, thanks. That sounds like a long time.
Hey, I mean, you've been a coach for longer than I've been alive, but you know what? You gotta do what you gotta do. A lot of people reached out and said, like, you got to get Coach Paul on the podcast. I said, all right, I'm doing my business. Reached out. Here we are. The entire season this year coming up, right? So upcoming races, if you can dive deep into those, that'd be great.
Sure. First of all, just thanks for having me and appreciate the work that you're doing to get information out and get the message out from different coaches and athletes just about how we do our sport. But to get to this year coming up, I would say that the competitive landscape over the last number of years, I mean, it always does in sports. It keeps going up and you're constantly trying to figure out, you know, what's working, what's not working, how can we do things better, and how can we rise to the next level or win this race or do well this competition. And I would say that it's too early to tell. For me or anyone else, I would imagine what's going to unfold in the coming year. And you just have to focus in on what you can do and to try to get the best vision you can of how does this group particularly develop in the right way? What can I do to adjust what I was thinking coming into the season to what I'm seeing? How can I have the people in the program play roles where they get the most out of themselves and their teammates? I think that's a big part of it, is who's going to be able to push this team forward in the right way, and how can I support those people in doing so? And then, you know, if you do all those things well, the results will start coming and the training will be good. And, you know, oftentimes we find that the spirit of the team really comes through, whether you're running hills in the old days or whether you're on the ergometer or in the weight room, wherever it is, it's exciting to see the team start to work together and come together. And when you do those things, the season starts to take care of itself most of the time. And then you adjust and fight and crawl your way to the front of the race as best you can.
That was well stated there, Coach. I wanted to ask you a question about team culture and how important that is to you.
Something that people talk about a lot, and what does team culture mean and how do you define it and what does it look like for us? And sometimes we try to just make it as simple as, well, can we just get everyone to come down to the boathouse and have a good workout? And if we do that, we're probably going to have good team culture. And the more times you come down to the boathouse and you feel like you have a good experience, you get a little better, you go faster, you find out something that you can do better as a teammate or on the water. That to me is really the most basic team culture we look for. And, you know, as long as people want to add to that and want to bring energy to the team and help the overall group, the squad do that, you know, that's going to add to team culture. And when people don't, when people make it more difficult or when they make it seem like it's a chore or when it seems like it's, I don't know, when they, you know, who knows what reason they'll come up with, but if they make it so it's difficult to do those workouts or difficult to improve, then, you know, we try to address that and figure out a way where we can make sure that nothing gets interrupted in terms of what the team can do better, or that we address whatever issue comes up that seems to be getting in the way.
That's awesome. And in terms of the best way to execute practice, how would you say, like, your typical day in the life of coaches prepping for practice, talking to your assistant coaches, Coach Scott, Rufus, how is that for you each day?
Well, there's so many things that go into the day, and sometimes you can get pretty far into the day and realize, man, I got to get ready for practice because we've been working on this or that or the other thing, which you don't have to do because you're looking at the long-term success of the program. So you have to have a vision for what's coming in the future and how you're going to get there. But it is a great thing that every day, or, you know, 5 or 6 days a week, you're confronted with the fact that you've got to deal with it right now, and that there's not something in the future that you got to work on. It's really the present. And what a joy that is, that 2 or 3 hours out of your day, you know, you can really devote to what's happening here, what's happening with our athletes, what's happening on the water, and how are we going to put these things together. I've really been pleased with this coaching staff. I think Rufus and Scott have done a great job of bringing their ideas to the table, but also really wanting to incorporate their experiences with what we've done here at Brown and what our vision is, which is constantly changing. As I said before, you're always trying to figure out what can you do better. But most of it comes down to, okay, what does the team need at this moment? You know, we have a general plan usually for what's going on, but you have to think about the weather. The Seekonk will tell you whether you can do certain things or not on certain days. So you have to be aware of just what the waterway will allow. You have to be aware of, okay, you know, is anything going on? You know, is there someone who's out of practice for some reason? So we have to change this person into this setup. Generally, we're trying to figure out a way to put 2 8s or 3 8s next to each other and have them test themselves against each other. That's where we feel like most of the learning comes from, is by competing against your fellow athletes and trying to figure out how to make the boat go faster when you're next to someone who's of a similar speed. Those are the times where we find the athletes will rise up and do something better than they've done before and learn how to do that, and then hopefully maintain that and hold that as their new standard. So that's usually what we're trying to do when we're designing practice for a given afternoon. Zenon Babrai was my coach at Brown. He's my freshman coach. And I think all the coaches that I've had have influenced my thinking and influenced the way that we do things here, and some of them more than others. He was someone who I really liked the way he looked at things pragmatically. I think it's from coming from the Eastern European sports programs. You know, it was very, very straightforward and simple what you're trying to achieve. It wasn't a whole lot of rah-rah or like, we're going to do it because we're Americans, or we're going to win this because we're tougher than everyone else. It was more just about, okay, can we do the simple things that you need to do as an athlete to get better, and then focus on the things that, whether it's physiological or technical, that make the boat go fast. So it's very pragmatic, and yeah, that's something that you want to be able to, you don't want to be able to do things not just on emotion all the time. So it's good to remember that.
Yeah, he had a great career as a coach. Just originally didn't want to be a coach. Then he figured out that maybe he should. And you know, one thing came to another and became coach to this program. So he definitely made an impact in college athletics for sure. With the new movie coming out, Boys in the Boat, how excited are you for that, if you are excited for it?
Yeah, definitely excited. I mean, The only problem, of course, is when you read a book and you think it's an awesome book and then you hear it's going to be turned into a movie, it's a little nerve-wracking, because is it going to meet your vision of what you've seen in your mind when you've read the book? So I have a little bit of that, but I'm super excited to see it put in film. And you know, what a great story about just what it takes to be a college athlete. A lot of it's still true. I think it's, of course, a different era, but many of the things in the book are so relatable to what is going on now. It's just a wonderful story. I read the book Unbroken, which I thought was also a great book about a long distance runner, I'll say, who also went to the Olympics at that time, which was an amazing story. But I found The Boys in the Boat to be so relatable, to be something that you could really imagine in that, being in that guy's shoes, Joe Rance's shoes. And so I'm really excited to see how they put that in film.
Hopefully George Clooney can come in clutch, you know. What Varsity 8 boat took the longest to structure out of the years coaching at Brown? So like the boat to form before IRAs.
We've had quite a few that have evolved over the course of the springtime. And I would say that it's more normal than not normal to see some kind of evolution happen during the course of the spring. We have had some crews that have really stayed together and started the season strong and then stayed strong all the way through. And that's really fun to be part of. And as a coach, you can feel like you can work on getting the little things right you can work on the strategies. You're not shifting things around too much, so you can make small adjustments and have them really pay off. But there are a lot of times when the competitiveness in the boathouse is such that, you know, you get a lot out of trying personnel in different situations, different places in the boat, and trying to figure out, okay, wow, this guy's really, like, people aren't static. So over the course of 2 or 3 months, some people get better, you know, and when they do, it's exciting to be able to give someone an opportunity, especially when the team needs it. You know, if we've lost a race and someone seems like they're really coming on strong, can we have that person make a difference in the team? And I think that gives the whole team a sense of excitement and a sense that, hey, it really matters what I'm doing here in the 4V, the 3V, the 2V, wherever, 5V. And I might get the chance to get a new role and play a bigger part over the course of the season. So we've had a lot of crews that have done that. I think probably the 09 crews where we had a lot of success, especially the Eastern sprints, the races on Wednesdays were often more exciting than the races on Saturdays. Those crews really went for it and they were almost inseparable. And so you would have the varsity win by 4 or 5 seats on Wednesday, and it would be a bigger margin on Saturday.
Oh my gosh, I wish I was there to see that. That would have been awesome. The athletes nowadays, you said the 09 crew is just different, like the tenacity that they had. Have you noticed the difference in athletes just along the years that you've been coaching, just changing in mentality or mindset or work ethic or competitiveness, anything like that?
I'm sure there's some differences. I think, obviously, there's different ways of communicating now than there were. But to me, I would say that those differences are overrated in general, that most of the athletes that I've worked with have very similar characteristics. And the fundamental competitiveness, the fundamental desire to, the will to win, the willingness to compete, to train, to fight, to race, I don't think those things have changed very much over time. So I think as a coach, you try to tap into those like very fundamental emotions, those very fundamental traits and ways of doing things that have worked since the Boys in the Boat. And you try to apply those, yes, with some differences, but most of those, it's, you know, you're not going to change that sense of the heart of the team or a great competitor. Those things I think are very much the same now as they were 20 years ago or 50 years ago.
That's a good take on it, I would say. Head of the Charles is coming up, prepping for that. What's that been like for you and your team?
Yeah, you always have to balance the long view with the short view when it comes to the Head of the Charles. We've really enjoyed the race over the years. I we've had good success there, and the athletes get super excited for the competition. There's a great crowd. You don't always get to row in front of so many people. So you really feel valued as an athlete, I think, and get that sense of celebration and recognition of the sport. So I really do like that about the Head of the Charles. And so we're working hard to get ourselves ready for it. And I think the team will stand up tall as they often do, and they'll race hard and they'll race well.
You know, what's so funny is that your alumni, Lech Gonzowski, is racing in the champ single this year from CRC. He's definitely going to use those traits that you taught him as an athlete at Brown into his training, I think, this fall. So I'm excited to see how he does. He just came off the world championship in the quad Your reaction to that, just seeing him do, you know, follow through with his dream of going on the national team as a coach, what are your thoughts with that?
Anytime one of our athletes goes on to race internationally, it's mostly just a thrill to watch. And of course you admire what they're doing. They're taking it to the next level. They're taking, hopefully, the lessons they learned at Brown and applying them and learning more and coming back and telling us what happened and what was different and what that was all like. So it's mostly just a huge amount of curiosity and support and cheering them on when someone goes on and rows internationally like that. And, you know, I still have those dreams like anyone else does of racing. Yeah. Racing in the biggest competitions and the Olympic Games, World Championships, those are always moments that you dream about and aspire to. So it's exciting to be able to share in them.
Yeah. I mean, shout out to Jack DiGiovanni, man, just doing his thing. You know, just completely, what is it, U.S. Rowing Male Athlete of the Year, 123 group. That's fantastic. Both Will and Jack have been on the show. And I can't say how awesome, I mean, those podcasts were with them. They're just complete, just true athletes and want to learn more about the sport and compete. And they're just, you know, great people. So shout out to those two athletes that have been doing their thing at Brown. And then also the alumni at Brown, I think, is one to none. My sponsor, Zeno Mueller, you know, Olympian, Hall of Famer at Brown. Any interactions that you've had with Zeno that have made you love rowing even more? I mean, he's taught me so much.
Well, we just had the 93 crew back here intact last June, and they went out for a row. And it was really exciting to see those guys. And Rufus and Scott were both in the launch, and they were like, wow, those guys got going after about, you know, six or seven strokes off the dock. You could see the rhythm was there. The boat was moving. Those are the heroes. It's always great to have heroes at any place, but those are our Brown heroes. And we look up to them and aspire to do what those guys did. And again, it's just been exciting to follow their progress. And Zeno, you know, Zeno specifically, his race in the single in Atlanta, I think is one of the most exciting races you'll ever watch. And to know the program he was part of and what he did at Brown and how he did his preparation for those Olympic Games, to have an insight into what he had done in the years beforehand and how that had been somewhat shaped, you know, just part of, at least part of his experience shaped here at Brown, you know, that's awesome. And you never get tired of watching that race.
I pull it up all the time. I was just watching, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I watched it, and it just gives me chills just seeing him just do his thing and win across that finish line. Oh my gosh. A couple questions here, and then we'll get into our Q&A. Recruitment at Brown is different than other schools. Obviously, it's an Ivy League school. And before I get into this, I just wanted to say congrats on being the 2022 Heavyweight Coach of the Year for the Ivy League. That's fantastic. When you received that award, what was going through your mind at that time?
I mean, I really appreciated getting recognized. I was pleased with the way the season had come through, especially at the end of the season. We had a lot of crews really step up. The energy and ability of the crews to peak at the right time was really strong. I felt like we still left something on the table because we didn't win the championship. So I appreciated the award very much. It was great to be recognized, but it did still feel like we have another, you know, stone to turn.
Totally. You can never stop. You have to always keep going. The impact of GB assistant coaches on the team. Now, you mentioned Scotty Cockle and Rufus Biggs. Rufus was an alum at Brown. So you were coaching him and then he became a coach. So that's awesome too.
Well, I coached lightweights way back and a long time ago and at Cornell. And there was this thing about whether guys were better, whether they were recruited to row before, whether they were walk-on novice athletes. And we used to have conversations about which one was, you know, who was going to be better. And the same thing sort of happened with international athletes versus U.S. athletes, U.S. coaches, British coaches, coaches from Poland like Zenon Babaraj. You know, what I think is that when you find good people, you have good people. And so it doesn't really matter too much where they come from or how they get there. You know, whether you have British coaches, American coaches, or coaches from any country in the world, it comes down to the people and working together in a system that helps people get better. And I think that's what those guys are doing. And I'm really pleased that they're on board. I think they do have both experience in British rowing, which is arguably, you know, one of the stronger or the strongest rowing programs in the world right now. So having that insight is valuable, but the personal side and the just finding the right people is to me the more important of the two.
I think that Scott does a great job of highlighting the team itself through social media. Increase on the team has gone absolutely it's unreal. Scott had a video that went over 1 million views. That's like, you think about rowing, you don't really see that often, the attention that you see in rowing, you know? And so for him to have a video like that getting over 1 million views, for one of the guys in your squad to look over and get ready for a piece like that, it's unreal. When you heard about that, what were you thinking? Like, Scott has some magic, or maybe he found the algorithm or something.
Well, he's got a lot of talents, and that's one of them. And it is really fun to work with him to create messages that we feel like represent the team, show what the team is all about, and also just our cool images or cool videos or have some kind of cool statement involved. And I don't mean to say I have a huge influence, but I do like working with him on it a lot. And I think it's made a difference for the team. I think they feel like they get represented and recognized in a way that is exciting. You have to be careful of trying to do things just so they look cool rather than actually being fast. And I think that we try to stick to that as well as we can. And you don't want to get overly conscious about the wrong thing. But, you know, when you can tell a story and you can tell that story through images and sound or whatever it is, it's exciting to tell the story. And we're happy that the athletes here have been able to get some recognition that way. I mean, there's a video of Vijay in the coxswain seat at Henley that's like been so fun to see Vijay get that kind of airplay, I guess.
He came from, I think it was Malvern Prep, right? Was that where he came from?
And then he came from.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, we talked to BJ before he arrived at Brown. I wouldn't say he was entirely an unknown quantity. We were excited about, he wrote me a great letter actually when he was looking at Brown about one of his former teammates who went on to be the U.S. coxswain and how he wanted to follow in his footsteps. So BJ, I think is a really terrific guy, and I've enjoyed talking to him before he came to Brown, and he's done a great job here, and so fun to see him in that video.
Yeah, I mean, you also got Elena as well, who's coming in Greenwich after a great career. She's done great stuff. So again, great coxswains. Jack's great coxswain. I mean, you got great coxswains all around. So I mean, you're lucky with that. And I'm sure that Scott definitely has an interesting way of choosing the coxswains, you know, as a coxswain himself. Do you think that social media on the team has influenced recruiting at all?
Yeah, I do. It's one of those things like having a good facility or, you know, a nice uniform. It's a way that you can express that the details of the program are paid attention to. So if we can somehow get the message out there that, you know, we like to do things the right way. We try to pay attention to detail. This is what we're doing here. This is what we're doing there. And we can get somebody from around the country or wherever to view that and say, hey, there's something going on at Brown that I want to pay attention to. That's a great way for us to start the conversation about coming to Brown.
When recruiting coxswains, what are some red and green flags?
Well, first of all, you know, it's always hard recruiting coxswains with less metrics. So, you know, we usually try to look for the coxswain who's the top coxswain in their program or the year younger, and they're hopefully going to be the top coxswain in their program. But a lot of it is conversations, recordings, and just getting to meet people and making sure that you you know that they're someone who will enjoy being part of the program, to really invest themselves completely and have that competitive drive. Of course, it's important to we've had some coxswains grow out of being coxswain size. So that's something that we just try to keep the person interested and ourselves aware of. Mostly it just comes down to that that person is a great competitor, understands boats and understands steering. That's what you're looking for.
Who have you been most inspired by as a coach, and who has influenced you most as a coach?
I am inspired by a lot of the athletes that we've had over the years. Those you learn a lot from the athletes, the ones who have that sense of maturity or composure at key moments, the ones who go the extra mile when you thought that you'd already asked for the extra mile. Those athletes are probably the ones who've influenced me the most. And I would also say that my own coaches, I had Zenon Babra was my freshman coach. I was coached by Rich Davis at St. Paul's School, along with Chip Campbell, and also Steve Gladstone, of course, at Brown.
Yeah, those are names. Talking to Zeno about Coach, you know, Steve Gladstone, having both of them on the podcast, you know, independently and whatnot. But one of the things that Coach Steve did talk about was importance drills are, you know, to the team. So what is your favorite rowing drill?
That's a good question. It depends on the crew, honestly. You don't know necessarily what's going to make the biggest difference for a given team or a given set of athletes. But yeah, I've actually been working a lot just on trying to get the hands on the handle right. We've been doing a fair amount of like just taking the inside hand off the handle on the recovery sometimes and just trying to get the inside hand only rowing to be good. So just trying to get the grip on the handle right has been something that I've been working on a lot lately. I've enjoyed that.
The big personalities that you've had on the team, has that influenced you?
Oh yeah. I mean, the personalities are really what drives the team most of the time. And the sense of humor that you have at the boathouse, that's what fuels everybody when things are challenging, working hard, everything like that. So I don't think there's much more important than having the people and the personalities. You know, some of them are very quiet, of course. So there's all, you know, when you say big personalities, sometimes they're big in a quiet way. So it's not always the people that are the most boisterous. I like having a combination of personalities. I think everybody can bring something to the team, and some are the most thoughtful people you've ever talked to. And you're like, man, I can't believe that person came up with that idea. That's such a great idea. Some people are just completely driven and push everybody by example. So there's so many different ways that personalities can make a difference. And we certainly feel like that's at the very highest value of the team is getting everybody to express their own personality in racing.
Do rowers bring up ideas about coaching technique or psychological tricks or ideas?
Yeah, definitely. You know, like I said, we've learned a lot from the athletes over the years in all different ways. And I think one of the best ways you can teach someone to row is to have the person who really does, if you know what you're looking for and you can put that person in the boat somewhere where they can have a big effect, and everyone can feel it or see it or watch it. You could do some drill, but if you have the boat already rowing in a certain way and you put someone who doesn't understand it in that boat, that's the best way to teach them. It doesn't matter what drill you're doing. You could just be rowing. So it's being able to have people lead by example is probably the best way of learning how to row.
If you could change or add something to crew that would make it more spectator friendly, what would it be?
Well, I think we can do better with the events, the things around the competition. I mean, the IRA is such a great race right now. It has been for a long time. And I'm sure, you know, you can make arguments that there's other races that are just as good or better, but the IRA semifinals, finals, the whole competition has to be one of the best rowing regattas in the world. I think we could learn things from other regattas in terms of spectator, being spectator friendly, doing things with social media and online. The IRA's worked very hard to do those things, and they've had a lot of success with it, but certainly that's a place where we could keep growing.
All right. Any like specific events they think could be interesting or could propel people to want to watch it more, anything like that?
That's a good question. You know, one of the reasons that made the Head of the Charles is successful is right close to downtown Boston. Can you put the race in front of people more? You know, because sometimes you're doing a race that's in the middle of, you know, it takes a long time to get there. is there a way that we can put more races right front and center in either urban settings or close to them? I think that finding those venues would be really could be helpful.
Trying to think here. Oh, we do have a question. I don't know who it's from. Wink, wink. Favorite athlete from classes from 2023 named Will.
Typical. I wonder. I let me think about that one for a moment. That guy's one of a kind and always brings great energy.
When someone's feeling down or low, how often do you check? Are you checking in with your athletes throughout like the season?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question, and you know, I think we check in with them every day, one way or another. I mean, at least you just, you know, when you walk into the weight room or you walk into practice, you're always looking around, just making sure everyone's there. You notice pretty quickly when someone's late or when someone's not there. So that's the first big warning sign. If someone's not at practice, what's going on? But of course you can go through practice and you can go through the day and not show that something's happening or you're not doing well in school. And it can be really hard for a coach to recognize that or know that. So I generally do my best to stay tuned in to the whole squad to try to figure out, you know, is there something going on that I might be missing? But I think most of that just comes down in our program, at least, to brief check-ins really regularly. How's it going? You know, just having people come in the office or just walking around before practice and having small conversations, just seeing if you can notice, is there anything up that I need to be aware of? We actually do have, I would say, more resources now at Brown than we've ever had before in terms of basically everything involving wellness for student athletes. So that's exciting and something that we're getting better and better at and have more people and in positions in the athletics department to help us.
What do you think is the most important part of rowing stroke?
Well, you know, picking up the weight of the boat at the front of the stroke together is, I think, the most important. But, you know, you miss any part of the rowing stroke significantly, you're going to run into trouble. So it is really a holistic movement. And one thing leads to the next. So yeah, if you have any big deficiency, you're gonna run into problems with someone who doesn't. But I think getting the front end of the stroke right is usually the hardest and the most impactful thing that you can get right.
All right, Mr. Cook. Well, thank you for hopping on the 4Charts podcast. I appreciate you. Thank you. And I'm wishing you and your team the best season this year. Hopefully go out there and do some big things, you know. So go Bruno.
Thanks a lot, Hudson. I appreciate it.